I chose my friends carefully. The more politically active black students, the foreign students, the Chicanos, the Marxist professors and structural feminists and punk rock performance poets. We smoked cigarettes, attended classes sparingly, drank beer heavily, and tried drugs enthusiastically. At night in the dorms we discussed neocolonialism, France Fanon, Eurocentrism, and patriarchy. And if the high didn't solve whatever it was that was getting you down, it could at least help you laugh at the world's ongoing folly and see through all the hypocrisy and bullshit.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You unlock this door with the key of imagination. Beyond it is another dimension. A dimension of sound, a dimension of sight, a dimension of mind. You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into...
Later in the hour, Jim found a bag of meat on the side of the road and is going to let you, the viewers, decide what to do with it.
I can't wait.
But first, it's time for Get Both, a segment where we hear inspiring everyday stories about getting all the things you want out of life. Now, a lot of little girls do ballet even though their fathers couldn't care less and don't see what the big deal is.
Oh, I know that story all too well.
But one talented little prodigy actually choreographed a whole ballet that her father could enjoy and even look forward to. Can you believe that? Let's meet Erin Kemper and her father, Jack.
Hi.
Thanks for having us.
So, Jack, you're actually able to spend quality time with your daughter despite how aggravating you find her interests?
Yeah, I guess you could say I'm a ballet buff.
Erin, how did you do that?
I thought about all the things that my dad likes to watch and put it into a ballet. It's called Hope You Like This.
Well, let's take a look.
How many times do I have to kill you, Jason Bourne? It's you who's gonna die, Brad from work. Gonna go work on the basement.
Wow, who knew ballet could be so exciting?
I don't know where she gets it.
After the fight scene, there was a dance number called Everyone Get in the Car. And then there was a scene with all the characters yelling at the newspaper. And then there were 20 minutes of peace and quiet, because I know that's very important.
Oh, it sure is. What inspired you to create this amazing ballet?
I'm really inspired by the theme of my dad paying any attention to me at all.
Now, at the end, I hear she just put the game up on the big screen.
I don't know where she gets it.
So you're saying that this ballet has all the great taste of 7-Up and only 10 calories?
No, it's not what I said.
Oh, I'm sorry. I think Jin was confusing it with another great product.
Oh, so I was.
Well, we have a special treat for you today because Erin is now going to perform her new ballet. When I pay the bills, I get to make the rules.
Can you tell us something about the show, Erin?
Yeah, it's an adaptation of Swan Lake with a subplot of hanging your hoard up in the closet instead of throwing it on the couch. Because when you throw it on the couch, everyone gets upset.
Well, I'm hooked.
Here she is, Erin Kempner.
We can't afford that. World War II. I miss your mother, too, but we're going to have to do the best without her. Oh, Redskins!
Bravo! Well done. Boy, I wish she were mine. You know, my two girls are grown up, but you still couldn't pay me to watch one of their a cappella shows.
How is it possible this truck driver ended up in a trauma hospital?
We investigate why a local man who committed no crime was nearly killed over a traffic ticket. Good evening and thanks for joining us tonight. I'm Raj Mathai.
And I'm Jessica Aguirre. It is a citizen's worst nightmare. Pulled over by a cop on a remote road and you end up in a trauma hospital after a disagreement over a simple traffic ticket.
It happened to a Bay Area resident on his way home on I-80. We've been investigating this story for 6 months and it doesn't seem to add up. What we do know, though, is this man's life was changed forever. Let's bring in investigative reporter Stephen Stock. And Stephen, how cooperative has the CHP been in this?
Well, Raj, we asked for public records back in February
and have yet to receive any public records from California's Highway Patrol. Its own Internal Affairs Division says there's been a 17% jump in the number of disciplinary actions against CHP officers in the last 5 years. But they won't talk in detail about this case because the truck driver involved is now suing the Highway Patrol and the officers involved. So we went digging on our own and uncovered a story we found very hard to believe. It all happened around 5:30 in the morning on a remote part of the interstate up in the Sierra Mountains, far away from any witnesses. We want to warn you, parts of this story and some of the pictures you're about to see may disturb you.
Большого трака, коммерческого трака.
58-year-old Kazachenko can retell with clear precision the moments from that morning back on September 2, 2011, out on Interstate 80, westbound out of Reno, headed home to the Bay Area. He speaks in his native language, Russian, recounting up until that moment of the incident. That's when Oleg's Kazachenko goes silent and cannot speak anymore. For 40 minutes, Kazachenko sits there, insisting he wants to tell his story, but the words won't come. But these pictures speak for him, confirmed by medical records, a crushed left orbital eye socket, multiple facial fractures, a broken left arm, loss of consciousness, a concussion, possible neurological damage. Why did this happen? According to court records, it was all because Kazachenko would not sign a ticket, citing him for driving his truck for too many hours.
That's the sound of the police. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the beast. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the police. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the beast. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the police. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the beast. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the police. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the beast.
This was May 2010. Officer Joseph Weekly was being filmed, as we mentioned, for A&E's documentary-style TV show called The First 48. His team burst into that house searching for a man wanted for murder. And during that raid, his gun went off, shooting 7-year-old Ayanna Jones. She was sleeping on her couch. Officer Joseph Weekly is now charged with involuntary manslaughter. And to talk about the case is CNN legal analyst Sonny Hostin. So, how will this clip, Sonny, impact the case?
Well, I think certainly there is an impact, Brooke, because it's rare that when the government is alleging a crime was committed that you have a video of what the government alleges happened. And so I think certainly it's crucial evidence. But I also think it's evidence that could be very difficult for this defense, because this is always a high pressure situation. We can see that just by looking at the video. I've been on drive alongs and that sort of thing. And I think the addition of cameras adds another layer of pressure onto this type of situation. And so I suspect that the jury will also consider that. Did these officers act differently because they were being filmed? Was there a bit more aggression involved because they were being filmed? I can't imagine that won't be argued in closing arguments.
An interesting point. I hadn't even thought about that, how that could alter one's attitude and behavior, having even just a camera present.
Stand clear. Done, man. Attack. You can't stand where I stand. You can't walk where I walk. Watch out. We run New York. Policeman come. We bust him off the park. I know this for a fact. You don't like how I act. You claim I'm selling crack. Will you be doing that? I'd rather say see ya, because I would never be ya. Be a officer. You wicked overseer. You hot shot. You want to get pops and be a savior. First, show a little respect. Change your behavior. Change your attitude. Change your plan. There could never really be justice or stolen land. Are you really for peace and equality? Or when my car's hooked up, you know you want to follow me. Your laws are minimal, because you won't even think about looking at the real criminal. This has got to cease, because we be getting hyped to the sound of the police.
Lead story in the New York Times this morning. Police agencies are assembling records of DNA. Slowly and largely under the radar, a growing number of local law enforcement agencies across the country have moved into what had previously been the domain of the FBI and state crime labs, amassing their own DNA databases of potential suspects, some collected with the donor's knowledge and some without it. And that trend, coming at a time of heightened privacy concerns after recent revelations of secret federal surveillance of telephone calls and internet traffic, is expected only to accelerate after the Supreme Court's recent decision upholding a Maryland statute allowing the authorities to collect DNA samples from those arrested for serious crimes. These local databases operate under their own rules, providing the police much more leeway than state and federal regulations, and the police sometimes collect samples from far more than those convicted of or arrested for serious offenses, in some cases, innocent victims of crimes who do not necessarily realize their DNA will be saved for future searches.
Officer who ran over a man during a pursuit has been fired. Western News has learned the officer was terminated after the chief of police saw the officer's dash cam video. Jim Payne in now. And Jim, this incident happened earlier this month.
Yeah, Sion, DeLand police officers were pursuing Marlon Brown just after midnight May 8th because he was seen driving without a seatbelt. Brown didn't stop and DeLand units chased him into a field. Law enforcement sources tell Western News dramatic dash cam video from officer J.P. Harris's patrol car shows him driving fast and running Brown down. Our sources say DeLand Police Chief Bill Ridgway saw the video at the state attorney's office today and terminated Harris. Chief Ridgway wrote in a news release, in part, "Based on the totality of the circumstances and facts that I continually learn through the process of the investigation, I have now reached a threshold of knowledge where I feel compelled to take immediate action."
Is this a case of police misconduct in Texas?
You're under arrest.
For what?
Put your hands on the truck or you're under arrest.
You just assaulted me.
Get ready to get tased.
For what?
Get on the ground.
I can't.
The video captured on the officer's own body cam. Donnie Hinshaw says what happened to him was unfair.
Check out the message in a rough smiley. The real criminal, I'll see on me. You check for undercover anyone.
Woo!
evening, a woman says she was brutalized by Federal Way police during a traffic stop, and now she wants justice.
But officers are telling a very different story, one where the woman tried to punch and even scratch them. Now that woman is charged with assault and going to court tomorrow. Como 4's Kristen Drew is in Federal Way right now trying to get to the bottom of the investigation.
Police say the officer stopped the woman at this complex after he noticed she was driving and talking on a cell phone without a hands-free device. When the officer approached the woman, that's when police say she became aggressive. Megan Graham says she suffered these injuries during a confrontation with Federal Way police at this apartment complex.
911.
I'm being attacked by this man who says he's a police officer.
Graham made the 911 call as the officer tried to arrest her for a traffic violation. Mm-hmm. Police say that officer was in full uniform and drove a marked vehicle.
No, you attacked me before you said anything. No, you attacked me.
When the officer returned to his patrol car to do a driver's check, that's when police say Graham got out of her car. The officer told her to get back in, but police say she refused and walked away.
That's exactly where it happened right there.
This woman says she witnessed the entire incident and tells a different story than police.
Did you see her clench her fist and attempt to hit them?
No, not at all.
When a backup officer arrived, police say Graham attempted to punch him twice in the face, then scratched the other officer.
There is no point whatsoever for you to touch me like that, especially with my condition, so how dare you even touch me?
According to Graham's husband, Graham suffers mental illness and hearing impairment.
It's very awful. Very awful. You're here to protect and serve, not protect and make lies.
The two officers will stay on duty while an independent review determines if they were justified in using force.
Yeah, well, I think that when you use totalitarian tactics, people begin to act crazy.
A report confirms that many Iraqis are still holding a petty grudge about the U.S. invasion. An advanced alien civilization discovers an uninhabitable planet, and a single woman has a Facebook profile picture with her sister. Focus groups found this video bleak, haphazard, and approximately 25 seconds too long. You be the judge. This is the Onion Week in Review. Following the widespread coverage of the NSA leak this week, the nation demanded a new photograph of whistleblower Edward Snowden, saying they had already seen the photo taken during Snowden's interview with The Guardian far too many times already. Citizens everywhere said they wouldn't mind seeing any other image of the 29-year-old former NSA contractor.
I mean, we've all seen that photo, you know? It'd be nice if they did something different, like a government headshot, an old photo or something. Personally, I'd like to see one of him at home with his friends, something like that. That'd be nice.
A groundbreaking study published Monday in the Journal of the American Medical Association confirmed that it is impossible to lose weight, no one has ever done it, and those who are trying should give up immediately. Researchers said that findings conclusively prove that shedding excess weight has never happened, changing your physical appearance is impossible, and that all sorts of exercises, personal training regimens, and diets will never, ever work.
Well, our test results conclusively prove that if you're going to the gym to lose weight, you will fail. You could work out every day and eat nothing, and you still wouldn't lose an ounce. Skinny people will stay skinny, overweight people will be overweight. That's just how it is.
Friends of local man Carl Brewster told reporters this week they did not understand how the 32-year-old is not completely depressed. Saying that Brewster's life fell apart years ago, friends said they are regularly confused by how he could maintain his affable demeanor and not be crippled by sadness at all times.
Honestly, I don't know how he doesn't go home and cry himself to sleep every night. He doesn't have health care, he walks dogs for a living, and no one will ever date him. I really don't get it.
Things have always been really awful for Carl, but he's never really been depressed. I mean, I make 3 times as much money as him, and I'm totally miserable. Honestly, we all thought he would have killed himself by now, but he hasn't.
And in sports news, the New England Patriots signed a new long snapper. In other news, an area man is outraged his private information is being collected by someone other than advertisers. The HBO biopic Behind the Candelabra reveals Liberace was good friends with gay men. And a crowd cheers as this 93-year-old fuck-up finally graduates from college.
The NSA's watching this, John. Be good now.
What's America talking about?
Computer specialist who worked for the CIA and the NSA, wanted by the USA for exposing top secret surveillance programs. Are the media acting responsibly in reporting some of these leaks?
Our government is spying on us all over the place.
You trust the government, but
this is a major overreach of privacy.
Who watches the watchers?
They're in my Facebook, they're looking at my bills.
People feel very exposed.
Can you really trust the government?
I started this Tea Party organization. Next thing I knew, somebody was over looking at the serial numbers on my guns. Where does it end? This is the world we live in, right? You have absolutely no privacy.
I'm a little confused here.
What is it that the Obama administration is doing that is so stunning? It's not like there's haphazard probing into all of our personal emails.
Filtering a bazillion blips of information and has technology available that'll pick out the two or three that are relevant.
Very carefully overseen, very carefully scrutinized by the courts.
The White House talking points that you're using are completely misleading and false.
Is the law being broken?
The law was broken by one person, who was Mr. Snowden.
Would you go after him?
In a New York minute.
I would describe this man as an American hero.
Is he a hero or is he a traitor? Let's ask Donald Trump.
I don't think you have any winners here. I didn't like him. He looks like a grandstander.
Donald, real quickly, what do you make of the fact that Miss World taking away bikinis?
If they don't have bikinis, their ratings are going to go right down the tubes.
Would President Bush also agree with this right now?
If he's watching right now, call us.
Details this afternoon from Facebook and Microsoft about their participation in the NSA surveillance plan. Facebook says the government requested data from between 18 to 19,000 user accounts in late 2012, a tiny percentage of Facebook's 1 billion users. Microsoft says it received requests for data from about 32,000 users. Both companies complied with those requests. And more than half of the United States Senate failed to show up Friday for a briefing by intelligence officials on the NSA surveillance controversy. The Hill reports the Senate had a short day Thursday and, quote, many lawmakers were eager to take advantage of the short day and head back to their home states for Father's Day weekend.
That's not to suggest that, you know, you just say, trust me, we're doing the right thing. We know who the bad guys are. And the reason that's not how it works is because we've got congressional oversight and judicial oversight. And if people can't trust not only the executive branch, but also don't trust Congress and don't trust federal judges to make sure that we're abiding by the Constitution, due process, and rule of law, then we're going to have some problems here. But my observation is that the people who are involved in America's national security, they take this work very seriously. They cherish our Constitution. The last thing they'd be doing is taking programs like this to listen to somebody's phone calls.
Hi, I'm Trevor Moore. Due to the recent revelations that in order to fight terrorism, the NSA has been using a secret court order to spy on every single Verizon and AT&T customer, Americans have become outraged and concerned about their rights to privacy. But along with that concern comes a feeling of hopelessness. I mean, what can we do? Vote in new leaders? Well, the problem is that during an election, each candidate pretends to not be an Then when they get the job, they reveal they've actually been a complete asshole this entire time. And just look at these people they're going to let us pick from in 2016. You think that they're not going to be giant assholes? No, elections are of no use. The only way to fight back against our country's excessive wiretapping and data mining is to make it irrelevant. That's why we're launching Operation Everyone Talk Like a Terrorist All the Time. If we all openly discuss terrorist plots in each of our phone conversations, then eavesdropping on those phone conversations becomes pointless. It's simple. We just need to work it into our daily vernacular. For example, instead of saying, I love you, you could describe a terror attack. The larger the scale, the more you love the person.
Hi, Mom. I just got out of school. Can you pick me up?
I'll be there in 15 minutes. I'm going to use a truck bomb to blow up the Brooklyn Bridge.
I'm mailing anthrax to Pierce to Morgan.
Or, nonsense about God's will being great could mean affirmative, while horseshit about multiculturalism could mean negative.
Hey man, they have a 7:30 show, and do you think you can make it in time?
God is merciful and his love is unchanging. Did you already get me a ticket?
Anti-racist is really just code for anti-white. Did you want me to?
Those that don't live by God's law deserve death, since I'm kind of tight on time.
Alright, I'm going to set off a pipe bomb at Disneyland.
Flying a Cessna into the Sears Tower.
And those are just a few examples. You can make up your own. Have fun with it. But it's time for us to stand up and protect our rights. Because those assholes aren't going to. I'm going to set off a nuke at the MTV Movie Awards.
I don't feel that my privacy has been violated, okay? Well, I would feel that my privacy had been violated if I was in a subway and the goddamn and the thing blew up, okay?
Oh, sorry. We're going to have to... It just came out,
you know, why I get...
Well, right. So safety rules.
Well, of course. You want to change the whole mood of this country?
Change.
Have a couple of terrorist attacks that go off without the ability
to
stop them.
You're so trusting in this.
You don't
and
realize
they weren't
how
even
much
able
commercial
to track
value
down these guys
this
in
has.
Boston, despite their take, reams of information.
I could stop all terrorism overnight. Maybe not every last dude. I mean, you probably still have the Unabomber type dudes that like guys that just had some kind of potty training fiasco when they were like 2, and from that point on they were destined to murder a lot of people. I feel like even the parents probably knew back then. They were probably like, he's pooping all wrong. Like, as wrong as it's possible to poop. He has never not pooped errantly. There are chimpanzees that hit the mark more often. And so we feel like he's probably going to experiment with dynamite later in his life. So other than that, dude, I could stop all terrorism. All you do is replace every drone bomb, every missile dropped from a plane with a marshmallow peep. The planes would only drop peeps. You might need a little parachute or something on each one to make sure they don't splat. And this would achieve two things. First, no more innocent civilians dying, not a one, which means no more furious family members and townspeople. You remember Ahmed? Yeah, well, the murderous dogs in the United States dropped a marshmallow peep on his head. You see? Not as easy a recruiting tool right there, huh? Tough to talk teenagers into lining up to strap napalm to their nuts because their cousin was hit with an adorable Easter candy. Yeah, I know. I know he was nailed with a peep, but he's okay, right? He like a bruise. I mean, you said he enjoyed eating it, right? He ate it afterwards. So I just feel like suicide bombing my balls off in a shopping center is not called for. It's overreaction. How about we just hit him back with some hummus or something? So here's the second part. There would still be hardcore terrorists. There'd still be people that say death to America. And the peeps would also serve as notice. So we drop that shit outside your house. We're saying to you, hey, we got our eye on you. All right? We know you're up to no good. So watch it, motherfucker, or the next candy will be a caramel. And that shit stings. Boom! War on terror over. You're welcome. Actually, there's one more piece. We can't stop dropping bombs on people because there's too much money in it, right? It's a goddamn lucrative business. You ever met someone who's got bomb-making money? Like Lockheed Martin, Boeing money? They're rich as fuck. I'm talking Rolls Royces made out of Lamborghinis. I'm talking Fabergé eggs made out of Fabergé himself. I'm talking jackets made out of angel hair. That kind of rich. So you know they're not going to let us get in the way of their money stream. The answer is to dust each peep in gold. That's right. Gold-dusted peeps. Each one costs $1 million to make, so Lockheed Martin still gets paid. There it is. War on terror over. Terrorism over. You are welcome. And now, as a little bonus, I'm going to tell you how to keep the war on terror going. How to keep it in a spiral of death and destruction that never ends. Never ends. Do exactly what we're doing right now.
You are the worst person I've ever interviewed.
No, it's basically off with their heads, disappear.
David, thank you for being with us.
Infowars.com,
half past 11. You're watching the Sunday Positives. We have an idiot on the program today.
Coming up in just 20 minutes. You will not stop the Republic. Humanity is awakening. Infowars.com. No. You guys are crazy.
I'll be looking at the week ahead with our political panel. Until then, the Sunday Politics across the UK.
You're crazy. Thinking the public isn't waking up.
What's the ugliest part of your body? What's the ugliest part of your body? Some say your nose, some say your toes. I think it's your mind, your mind. I think it's your mind.
Rome's annual Gay Pride has got underway with crowds taking to the city streets. Lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender and intersex revelers joined the parade, which carried with it a serious message, a call for equal rights and same-sex marriage. The issue of gay rights is controversial in Italy and the Vatican have criticised the event in the past.
In my opinion, we lag behind the rest of the world because we have the Vatican. It has always been the flaw of Italy. This would be a fantastic country if there wasn't this block, this chain that keeps us linked to the past but must no longer be present.
It's estimated that 40,000 people took part in this year's event.
Well, a teacher of mine once told me that life was just a list of disappointments and defeats, and you could only do your best. And I said, well, that's a f***ing cop-out. You're just washed up and you're tired, and when I get to your age, well, I won't be such a coward. But these days I sit at home, known to shout at my TV, and punk rock didn't live up to what I'd hoped that it could be. And all the things that I believed with all my heart when I was young are just coasters for beers and clean surfaces for drugs. And I packed all my pamphlets with my Bibles at the back of the shelf.
Protesters in Tokyo demonstrated against the sale of shark fin soup outside popular Japanese retailer Muji. The company currently sells the controversial soup in stores.
The reason we are demonstrating in front of this shop is because we love the Muji brand and we want to see them change it for the better. We don't want them to continue following this policy, so we choose this place for our protest.
Animal rights groups have called the practice of finning sharks cruel, as a shark is often alive when its fins are removed and is left to drown when thrown back into the water. Around one-third of shark species are threatened with extinction, according to the International Union for Conservation of Nature. And overfishing is a real threat to their survival, as sharks have a slow growth rate and a small number of young. The surge in demand for shark fins in Asia, and particularly China, means that they can fetch up to 1,000 euros each.
Well, it was bad enough, the feeling, and the first time it hit when you realized your parents had let the world all go to sh**, and that the values and ideals for which many had fought and died had been killed off in the committees and left to die by the wayside. But it was worse when we turned to the kids on the left and got let down again by some poor excuse for protest. Yeah, by idiot f***ing hippies in 50 different factions who were locked inside some kind of 60s battle reenactment. And I hung up my banner in disgust and I head for the door.
Protesters in southern India were blasted with water cannons and tear gassed as a demonstration turned violent. Dozens of protesters were demonstrating under the banner of the Democratic Youth Federation of India. They were calling for the resignation of the Keralan chief minister over his alleged involvement in a financial scam. Angry demonstrators pushed police barricades, hitting them with sticks as riot police fired tear gas and water cannons to disperse the crowd. Some of the demonstrators were injured in the riots.
Oh, but once we were young and we were crass enough to care, but I guess you live and learn. We won't make that mistake again, no. Oh, but surely just for one day, yeah, we could fight and we could win, and if only for a little while. We could insist on the impossible. Well, we've been a good few hours drinking, so I'm gonna say what everyone's thinking. If we're stuck on this ship and it's sinking, then we might as well have a parade.
Violence once again on the streets of London. There were ugly scenes in the capital on Tuesday as thousands of anti-capitalist protesters clashed with police ahead of the G8 summit next week. Dozens of people were arrested as scuffles broke out across some of the busiest parts of the capital. In Soho, police used circular saws to break into a squat. They then stormed the building to be met by protesters armed with water pistols. Officers in climbing gear even took to the roof to ensure there was no escape.
There are so
But that didn't stop one man from trying in this dramatic attempt to leap from the building. Luckily, however, he was caught, and once secure, he was taken to hospital.
Shame on you! Shame on you! Shame on you!
Many of the activists wore masks and carried banners as they marched through areas including Oxford Street, Piccadilly Circus, and Soho. It was billed as a carnival against capitalism to start a week of action before Britain hosts the meeting of the top eight industrialised nations at a golf resort in Northern Ireland. And as evening fell, police reinforcements began to arrive, with more arrests expected, amid fears more protesters would descend on the streets to continue their fight into the night.
It's still gonna hurt in the morning, and are better plans yet to get forming. Then where's the harm spending an evening in manning the old barricade? So come on, old friends, to the streets. Let's be 1905, but not 1917. Let's be heroes, let's be martyrs, let's be radical thinkers who never had to test drive the least of their dreams. Let's divide up the world into the damned and the saved, and then ride to the valley like the old Life Brigade, and straighten our backs and we won't be afraid, and they'll celebrate our deaths with a national parade. So come on, let's be young, let's be crass enough to care, let's refuse to live and learn, let's make all our mistakes again, yes. And then, darling, just for one day, yeah, we can fight and we can win. And if only for a little while, we could insist on the impossible.
Now, Turkish security forces have fired water cannons to disperse protesters in a central square in Istanbul. Lines of police sealed off Taksim Square in the centre of the city before the police went in. Well, the demonstrators scattered as the jets were turned on. Several people were brought out on stretchers. And action came after Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan lashed out at anti-government protesters in a speech, saying security forces would clear Taksim Square if they did not end their sit-in. Well, at the rally in Ankara, Mr. Erdogan dismissed the demonstrations as part of a plot by his enemies. He warned that unless protesters ended their occupation of the park by late on Sunday, the security forces would intervene. The activists say they'll continue their sit-in until their demands are met.
Leave the morning to the morning. Yeah, pain can be killed with aspirin tablets and vitamin pills. But memories of hope and of glorious defeat are a little bit harder to beat.
Let's get some of the day's other news, because the Turkish Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan has issued a final warning to the hundreds of protesters occupying Gezi Park in Istanbul, urging them to leave. Well, these are the pictures live from Taksim Square. The Prime Minister has said that the government's patience had run out. Now, clashes between police and protesters have continued for nearly 2 weeks now, looking a relatively calm now, though, from those live pictures. Activists have rejected the Prime Minister's demand, saying that they will only leave Gezi Park nearby when the government abandons plans to redevelop it. Well, Rico, you have got more on events in Turkey. Fill us in.
That's right, Akasha. Prime Minister Erdogan held talks with members of a key protest group in an attempt to defuse the anti-government protests. The meeting in the capital, Ankara, is the first time Mr. Erdogan has met protest organizers directly. Susana Mendonca has the latest.
Candles for the people who've died in the clashes between police and protesters in Turkey. This gathering was in Istanbul's Gezi Park, where the anti-government demonstrations began 2 weeks ago. We are here to commemorate our friends who lost their lives, this man says. We wanted to perform this silent protest as a symbol of the resistance. At the same time, members of Taksim Solidarity, a group that's been coordinating much of the park's sit-in, arrived for talks in Ankara with the Prime Minister. It's the first time that Recep Tayyip Erdogan has met directly with protesters. He used the meeting to give them his final warning to end their occupation. The Prime Minister called on the parents of protesters to take their children in hand. But in Taksim Square, these mothers responded by forming a human chain around their children to protect them from police. The protests, which began as a response to a violent police crackdown on people who'd wanted to stop Gezi Park from being redeveloped, have drawn in supporters from musicians to actors.
We want our fears and worries to be over. The police violence still continues. The Gezi protesters who stay here are still under the threat from police intervention. There must be no intervention in Gezi Park for the negotiations to continue.
But Turkey's Prime Minister is becoming increasingly impatient with the demonstrations, which have again continued into the night. The European Parliament joined calls earlier against the use of harsh measures on peaceful protesters. All eyes now will be on what happens next.
Yeah, well, I think that when you use totalitarian tactics, people begin to act crazy.
Thought the Wright brothers were the first to take flight, but tonight that piece of history hitting some turbulence. Here's ABC's Gio Benitez.
That famous Wright brothers plane hangs at the Smithsonian, the pair credited with the first flight in 1903. But now a new campaign to rewrite history being waged here in the Connecticut legislature.
The first flight occurred here in the state of Connecticut.
Senators unanimously voting this week to pass a bill that says this man was the first to fly, Gustav Whitehead.
Thrilled to see so much support for our native son, Gustav Whitehead.
They claim Whitehead flew this bat-winged plane in 1901, 2 years before the Wright brothers flew theirs. Connecticut even has a fountain to honor this German immigrant, his great-grandson there to see it.
It's a long time in the works. Finally has some kind of recognition.
The debate has simmered for decades. Whitehead enthusiasts here on ABC in 1986.
We are now convinced that he flew in 1901.
In part because of this newspaper article in 1901, a reporter saying he saw Whitehead soar nearly half a mile, and aviation historian John Brown tells us he's found 17 witnesses who saw Whitehead fly.
The search has begun for volunteers for a mission to fly to Mars. The only slight catch is that if you go, you can't come back. It's part of a plan by a not-for-profit Dutch company called Mars One, who want to establish a permanent human colony on the red planet.
Today, the Mars One Foundation starts the search for Mars inhabitants. The search for people from all nations who want to settle on Mars. Mars One is a not-for-profit organization that is working on landing the first crew on Mars in 2023 and another crew every 2 years after that.
Takeoff, landing and various parts of the mission will be streamed on the internet, with Mars One claiming an estimated potential audience of 4 billion. Successful applicants will have to undergo 7 years training before the flight, which will take 7 months. The one-way nature of the mission has raised questions from some over whether or not it's ethical.
The American space program falters, a victim of budget cuts, advantage falls to China, which is doing its best to catch up with the established space superpowers of the US and Russia. Shenzhou 10, China's fifth manned spacecraft, is transferred to its launch pad in preparation for a launch later this month. Both the ship and its Long March 2F rocket moved to a remote site in the Gobi Desert for testing, China sending three astronauts to an experimental space module. Once in orbit, the Shenzhou 10 will link up with the Tiangong Heavenly Palace 1 module, which was moved into position last month. Part of Beijing's long-term plan of running a full space lab that can house astronauts for long periods. But China also has its eyes firmly set on the moon, planning for an unmanned landing and the deployment of its own moon rover. Scientists have raised the possibility of sending a man there too, but not before 2020. Meanwhile, Iran pushes ahead with its very own space program on a much, much smaller scale, firing its rockets off the back of a lorry. Monkeys already followed a mouse, a turtle and some worms into space, the primate apparently returning to Earth in one piece. Tehran proudly announcing that a man will follow this menagerie before 2020. The country's already started looking for astronauts, hopefully also for a much bigger lorry.
China's latest manned spacecraft has blasted off into orbit. The Shenzhou 10 lifted off on schedule from its launch center in the Gobi Desert. It's carrying three astronauts, including China's second female astronaut. The mission's expected to be the Chinese space program's longest so far. Our science correspondent Jonathan Amos says it's a big learning curve for the Chinese.
Well, they've got about a 15-day mission in prospect. We saw Wang Yaoping there waving to the cameras. She was sitting in the left-hand seat as they went off. A nice, clean getaway. It's about a 9-minute ride to their initial orbit. After about 2 minutes, the strap-on boosters that you see at the bottom of a rocket, they'll come away, and then the main core stage then will separate, and then they'll go with their upper stage. That'll lift them to a height of a couple of hundred kilometers above the Earth. But over the course of the next 40 hours or so, they will have to raise that orbit up to about 335 kilometers, and that'll bring them then towards Tiangong 1. This is the space lab that they launched a couple of years ago. It's a single module, and it's a test. It's a demonstrator of the space station that they hope to build at the end of this decade, a much bigger construction. This will have three or four modules all interlocked, It'll be serviced by robotic vehicles, just as we see with the International Space Station. But it's a learning curve for the Chinese here. They're having to understand how you do this. So things that the Russians, the Soviets had learned, the Americans have learned, the Europeans, the Japanese, the Canadians, they have learned how to do this over the past 40 years. And the Chinese are in a process of catch up here, and they're having to run fast to catch up.
Very powerful stuff. What more do you want?
You reap what you sow. And just like us, some trees have seeds that are gender specific. For instance, you can't just plant an apple tree seed in the dirt and expect it to work because there's male and female. And the proper union has to be cultivated. And just like them, Johnny can't just roam these city streets spreading his apple seeds and hoping that they make it. And just because he learned how to convince lonely women to get naked, then con him out of using the condom and losing the same way he found him, it only means that his seeds are going to have a hard time trying to live. And John, I know in your mind you think you're big, but your physical form would have to be deaf, dumb, and blind, and never mind the fact that an Oedipus Rex often wrecks city streets. And sometimes estranged children catch up with deadbeats because you reap what you sow. And in the best case scenario, they come back donning big names like Keisha Cole and LeBron James. But if she can't sing or he ain't got game or there's nobody in the community to help her with her homework or him with his book report to cultivate their brain, they just might resort to a life of crime. And in such cases, instead of coming back donning big names, they come back donning big 45s and 9s. And then you're liable to find that the prime reason for the destruction of black civilization is the fact that black fathers are becoming extinct. And my father's father barely knew how to locate his son, but he damn sure knew how to find a drink. And if you were looking for my father, the best place to start is where I wasn't now. That doesn't mean I didn't have a dad. It simply means that my dad's name was Mom. And she worked overtime trying to find a kind of life support called child support. And while he thought it was a good idea to lay down, apparently he felt a diametric opposite way about staying around and handling his business. But then you reap what you sow, and who knows? Maybe I could have been a lawyer or a dentist, but instead I branched out into a Conan the Destroyer type menace. But that was back when I was a sapling, but I've grown a lot since then, but I still spent some unnecessary nights in jail cells before it was finished. Now raise your hand if you're not surprised. In fact, why don't you raise your hand if your father wasn't quite a man in your eyes? And I met my father like 5 times since I've been an adult, and each time I look into his eyes and fail to recognize the type of resemblance that my children recognize between them and I. Which is a shame because their great-grandfather, their grandfather, and I all gave them that last name, but apparently only one of us cared enough about his children to put them first. Them other cats must have been like, yo, I'ma plant my seeds in the earth because I can. But if you don't remember anything else I said tonight, remember this. If you can't expect your children to consider you a father, then you must be absolutely out of your mind if you ever expect anyone else in this world to consider you a man.
Now, go find the others. .com.
Wait, I... Ding, ding, ding. Uh-oh, looks like we're out of time. Goodbye.